Even before he was president, candidate Donald Trump was not shy about criticizing judges he thought had made questionable decisions. That has continued in his first month in the White House. When federal judge James Robart temporarily blocked the administration's travel ban, Trump tweeted that Robart was a, quote, so-called judge. Comments like those have led to judges and the American judicial system generally becoming less popular among the public. Joseph Ura, an associate professor of political science at Texas A&M, has co-written a study called Confidence and Constraint, Public Opinion and the Roberts Court. Part of that study calls for Chief Justice John Roberts to speak out publicly against some of the president's comments. Now, Joe, you and your colleagues write about the public losing confidence in the courts, including the Supreme Court. Why has that happened?
Sort of the most likely suspect we have is that the American people are becoming more polarized in terms of their political parties over the last 20 or 30 years. That's been one of the most marked trends in American public opinion since the mid-1990s or so. So what happens is we come to see things that we used to sort of see as in a nonpartisan way, in a partisan way. So a recent example of that is you see Republicans, for example, having much more favorable views of Vladimir Putin and Democrats having much more unfavorable views of him than they did a couple of years ago. But it's not that the facts in the world changed much, it's that something that wasn't partisan became partisan. Essentially, what has happened is the Supreme Court, which has it's always been political, and its decisions have always been fodder for elected politicians. That hasn't changed. But what has changed is I think it's gotten easier to view the court in a partisan way. Part of that stems from the court having had a Republican majority for so long, and sort of an exclamation point on that trend was the vacancy at the end of President Obama's term that was held open by some unusual maneuvers in the U.S. Senate, and now President Trump filling it with a much more conservative nominee than you would have had had the seat been filled by President Obama.
And so do you think that Judge Gorsuch going up there, do you think that just is more indicative? Because it did seem like, and legal experts I've spoken with, many people will say Judge Garland was someone who could really appeal to both sides potentially, and that has been a rare appointment, a rare nomination these days.
I think the whole situation is fuel on the fire, right? In some ways, Merrick Garland was the best Democratic nominee Republicans could hope for. And I think in part, Democrats made less of the Republican opposition to Garland's nomination than they might have because they were confident that Hillary Clinton would be elected president and they would get a better nominee from their point of view after the election. So why fight tooth and nail to get something that they regarded politically as second best, even though no one questioned Merrick Garland's objective qualifications to be a Supreme Court justice, in the same way that basically nobody contests the fact that Neil Gorsuch is qualified in an objective sense to be a Supreme Court justice. So the conflict then devolves into thinking about his judicial views and what are the political implications of those given the alignment of the justices that are already on the court.
John Roberts has been seen as someone who, even as Chief Justice, tends to prefer sort of narrow decisions, trying to get as many of his colleagues on board as possible. He was someone who wanted to have as many unanimous rulings as possible. He doesn't necessarily strike people as someone who would speak out too boldly. And I don't know, do you think there's a possibility he would be willing to get into, not a public fight, but a behind-the-scenes sort of, hey, you know, can we talk to the president about his attitude?
I mean, in some respects, that's why we ended our writing in the note we did. Right, by temperament, by habit, by, you know, so what we can observe about him just as a matter of personality, even though he's incredibly articulate and telegenic and I think could be a great public advocate for the institution, he just is reticent to take on that role. And I think that extends from a long history of Supreme Court justices and judges in particular in the United States at the federal level, at least, where they're appointed rather than elected. Of staying out of ordinary politics. An exception might be that we're sort of entering the realm of not just extraordinary politics in the sense of being extraordinary or out of the ordinary, but we're having a real kind of constitutional dialogue about what are the relative powers of the Supreme Court and the other institutions of government. Right, one way for the court to be involved in that is just to decide cases. But at a moment of sort of unique national peril might be too strong of a word, but at least right at this critical juncture where we may make a decision where we make a big change in course, I think in the end, he and other people who see a legitimate role for the Supreme Court in interpreting the Constitution, in setting the boundaries of the authority of the elected branches of government, it would be a mistake for him to sit out this fight. Because at the end of the day, right, the meaning of the Constitution, right, the Constitution is, right, a statement of what the people want their government to be like. Not having the input of maybe the most authoritative and articulate advocate of judicial independence and the judiciary serving as an effective check and balance against the other two branches of government, I think it is a disservice to the court and to the country as a whole.
Joseph Yora is an associate professor of political science at Texas A&M. He's co-written a study with two colleagues called Confidence and Constraint, Public Opinion, and the Roberts Court.